Yeah.
Okay, we're on the bottom, Makas, the bottom of Tes, Yudamabes. However, it's frozen for a moment, refuses to move. We were discussing the last issue was if a irha need, if a irha miklat does not have zakenim, does not have a bezdin, does it collate? Does it save the person who goes there? And Rabbi Lazar says it doesn't save them. And the Gemara wants to know, what does that mean exactly, doesn't save them? Does it mean even after the fact it doesn't save them at all? Or really, the Torah says he has to speak in front of the elders. Is something that it has to be, or it's like a mitzvah, it should be. But if you don't have it, it's not the end of the world. So he said there was a machlokas in that as well. There's also going to be a similar machlokas regarding two similar issues where the Torah talks about having zakenim over here. And this is the next point. It says, Ve'ir she'embo... one second. The ir she'embo zakenim, in another situation where a city does not have zakenim, is another machlokas, Ravami and Ravasi, like we had in the first case. We're not sure who says what, but Chad Omar, one says, Nasa ben Sorer Morer, that kind of a place that does not have elders, you can still make a wayward and rebellious son guilty. That's the story, the ben Sorer Morer who steals from his parents' money and partakes of meat and wine. And over there as well, you'll see in a minute, the Chad and the other opinion says, Einase ben Sormer. You don't make the child of ben Sormer if there is no Zakenim over there. What's the machlokas? Say machlokas. Lamandom, according to the opinion, says, A Nasa Ben Sormer, you can't make a Ben Sormer in such a city, being because we need, as the Pasuk says, Zikne Iro, the elders of the city. Because it says in the Pasuk, Vitsofsubo Avivimo, then his father and mother shall grab him, Vahotsios, and they bring him out, El Zikne Iro, to the elders of the city. So what if there's no elders to the city? Puzzle says you have to bring them to the elders of the city.
Who else would they take them to?
Well, that's the point. It's got to be a Bezdin. Valeka. And you don't have it. If you don't have it, then you can't make him a Ben Soramara. Lamandomer Nasa Bo Ben Soramara. But the opinion says you could still make him a Ben Soramara. The fact that the Torah says you take him to the elders, it's just mitzvah balm. It's a mitzvah that he should be tried before the elders, but it's not essential. So since there's no business to try the case, the appeal maintains he can be sentenced, must hold that his parents can bring him to the court of a neighboring city to be tried.
Well, I remember when we were doing this from before.
Okay, it's just a mitzvah ba'alma.
We were very, very specific. We tried every way possible that they don't make him a Ben Soramar. So if there's no elders in the city, they probably say we use that as a reason not to do it. Just like you couldn't, you have to be able to grab them. You have to be able to, was it C or here? Remember how we did all those
right
things?
So there there seems to be right there. There seems to be no machlokas where whatever the mother, father, mother have the same voice.
Right, all that.
Bunch
so
of those
if
things.
No elder, they probably say there's no elders in that city.
Not, so you take not, him to another city.
No, so that's the machlokas.
It's impossible to not do it.
But right. You do take him to another city.
No, so that's the machlokas. There's a machlokas if you do or you don't take him to another city. Shelley's just commenting and saying it would seem that the opinion that says you don't kill him conforms more with all the other requirements that are so difficult. It's almost, it is practically impossible to convict a Ben Soramar. That's the same topic. Third topic regarding the Egla Arufa. When you find a person murdered on the road and you don't know who did it, the Bezdin is required to bring a calf, break its neck in the middle of a valley. So over there it also mentions having elders a Bezdin. So same achlokas. Fear, shame, bozakanim, and a city doesn't have any elders closest to the person who was murdered. Another machlokas, Rav Ami v'Rav Asi. Chad Amar mevi egla rufa. One says, even if there does not have elders, you do bring the egla rufa. V'chad Amar einam mevi egla rufa. One says you don't bring the egla rufa. Laman Amar einam mevi egla rufa. According to the opinion, says you do not bring an egla rufa because the pasuk, but you know, we require, as the pasuk says, Zikne ha'ir hahi, the elders of that city, as the pasuk says, v'hoya ha'ir hakrov lachalal, the city that's close to the corpse, v'lokhu zikne ha'ir hahi, and the elders of that city will take for themselves a heifer that has not been worked, etc., etc. So the elders of the city, so there's got to be elders of that city, and you don't have that. Opa, Veleka, there is none, so we can't do it. Lamandomer may be Egla Rufa. The opinion says you do bring an Egla Rufa because it's a mitzvah ba'alma. Again, it's a mitzvah, but not essential. So that is, if the city has a bezdin, they're the ones who perform it. If it doesn't, it's performed in any case. According to that opinion, you do it just without elders. Interesting. The case with the Ben Sir Morer, this opinion says you just go to another city.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Elders from another city.
You have to do it.
So that's the difference of these three opinions. So three.
They don't do it at all?
You do it, but you just do it without a bezdin. This machlokas is, do you have to have a bezdin or not? If you don't have a bezdin, you can't do it. The other one says you just do it without a bezdin.
So who does it?
Whoever. Anybody, the guy, the shamish, race, I don't know. Somebody does it. That's all. I mean, it's not the hardest thing to do. It's not like a law of shechita. You decapitate its head. It's not like you have to have ritual practice. Let's say if you have to bring kachim, you have to bring an animal offering like a korban ola. You have to know how to shecht properly.
Right.
Here, you just take chop its head off. You decapitated it. You don't need any great practice in that. So you just do it out of bezdin. That would seem to be the three machlokasim over there. Okay, one final point over here. Remember, it talks about Sefer Yeshua. Remember we said in Sefer Yeshua, Hashem was telling Yeshua, okay, you got to make the year, next 3 years on Miklutz. Remember we talked about that discussion over there. So Amar Rab Chama Bar Chanina. Oh, maybe we didn't talk about it when I just prepared it.
Oh.
Somebody confused what I prepare and what I've taught. So I know I've prepared it. Anyway, so let's just shift a little bit. Still with the Yerah Miklat. Now, remember, in the Torah, we had the commandment to Moshe, the mitzvah of Yerah Miklat. Hashem told Moshe to separate three cities. He said, when you cross the Jordan and you go into Israel, there's going to be another three cities separated. That'll be Yoshua's job. So now we come to the end of Sefer Yeshua, where Hashem now tells Yeshua, okay, it's time to separate the next three Arei Miklat.
Yeah.
So there is a question on the wording over there. Amar Rab Chama Bar Chanina, Mivnei Ma Nemra Parshas Rotzchim. Why was the section dealing with killers in Sefer Yeshua? Is it going to let me go there or not? Wow. Whoa, get the whole thing. So let's start with the first words. You see, what's the first word of the whole section? What does it say?
Vayedaber.
First word in Hebrew.
Vayedaber.
Vayedaber. Vayedaber. That's the word we're focusing on here. If you recall, you might not recall, we said there's a difference between the word Vayedaber and Vayomer, even though they both in English means, and he spoke. Anybody recall the difference?
Yeah, one is
understatement.
Demand.
One is like a stronger expression, a harsher expression. It's like, you better do this, so to speak. As Vayomer, it's like more calm, not as harsh. So it opens up, and again, even the next pasuk, Daber al Bnei Yisrael. Okay, speak to them, and let's just look a little bit. So now he says, "Tnu lachem esarvei, prepare for yourselves the city of refuge that I told Moshe beforehand." And now he goes over the laws and pasuk gimel. Anybody who kills Bishogi will run over there. He goes to one of these cities. He goes to the gates of the cities, and if the Goladom runs after him, blah blah blah, and he sits there for a long time, blah blah blah. So this was six psukim where Hashem says, "Okay, it's time to do it," and we review it. And then it tells us the cities he designates. Vayakdish es Kedesh. Remember, he said Kedesh in the Galil. And Bahar Naphtali, Veshchem Bahar Ephraim, Veskiryas Arba, Yichevron Bahar Yehuda. Those are the three cities we showed you on the map before, if you recall. That's what he did. Fine. Okay, so this is a little section over here where Hashem is commanding Yeshua to go and separate these three cities. Okay, the question is, it starts with the word Vayidaber. Okay, so we will see now. Oh, does it give me the map? I'm just curious. I'm just curious if it's going to give me a map. That's just, oh, how do you like that? How do you like that? It was sitting there the whole time, hiding for us. Okay, I don't know if you can make it out.
Well, it's all 42?
Yeah, it's almost all 42. See all the little red dots? Those are all the ear miklots. Okay, so if you look look way on the top, right over that little C on top of the Yam Kineret, you see Kedesh?
Yeah.
See, right on top of the Yam Kineret, then a little thing on top of it is Kedesh.
At the top,
okay. You got to the right, coming up at the top here, when Menashe, Ramot Gilad.
Yeah.
That was one of the big ones that Moshe did. Going further south. Okay, what did we want? Shechem. No, what was Shechem? What was the other one we said?
Betzer, in the bottom.
Well... No, Chevron is the bottom.
Chevron.
Chevron
was the bottom.
Chevron, Yeshua did.
Yeah.
Right? And on the right, all the way across, is Betzer. And what did we say was in the middle? I don't remember now. Okay, anyway, but that's the map over here.
Are you able to send this one?
What?
Are you able to send this one or no?
I probably can take a picture of it.
Right.
Okay, so very nice. So we got this. Now I got to see how I'm going to get myself back to the Gemara. One second. Okay, how am I going to do this? Do I go back?
Give me on top.
There's a little X. Oh, no, that's something else.
Oh.
The previous.
That's something else.
No, that just takes that out.
More on top. Left, back, maybe.
Sorry.
The top, right? It says previous.
No.
Let's go
it's
back.
It's a different app, isn't it?
I know. No, but I closed it out. Watch. No, it's all in the Gemara. It's all in the Gemara app.
How previous? Or that can be another page.
No, that didn't do that for me. Maybe go previous.
Yeah, on the right.
Okay, good. Just give me another map. Now it's giving me all the maps.
Whoa.
Okay, maybe we'll try the menu.
Do the text thing in the middle.
Let's go back to Makas. All right. Okay, I got back. All right, anyway. So that was the map. Okay, so now we've got all these amazing maps. So, okay. Tanya, so we learned in our Brayse, so here's the question. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, as you go up to the top of Yud Amud Beis.
No, we're on the wrong page.
Wait.
Sorry. Yeah, we're on the wrong page. Parsha Drachim.
What happened here?
We're on 10B.
Oh, yeah.
We're on Yud Aleph. Okay, Aleph. There we go.
I know, but it's... Let's try it again. Oh, I see. I had the wrong page. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Mipnei Ma Nemra, Parshas Rotzchim. Why was the Torah section dealing with the law of killers where Hashem told Yehoshua to separate the next three cities? I'm sorry, now on the top of Yud Aleph Amad Aleph. Sorry. Beloshen Azot, with a strong, a firm language. How do we know that? Because I showed it to you, Dichsiv. Vayidaber Hashem el Yeshua Leimor. And Hashem spoke. Bear is a stronger language. Again, as I now look at this, the term daber as opposed to emor is always taken the indication of firmness. Throughout the book of Yeshua, Hashem usually says Vayomer Hashem. You go through the whole book of Yeshua, it's Vayomer Hashem, Vayomer Hashem, Vayomer Hashem. All of a sudden, it's a Vayidaber, and this is the general rule. Look at the end there. Dibor, the word dibor, loshen kosha. Okay, speech denotes firmness. Amira Lashon Raka, saying is gentleness. So why is Hashem speaking so firmly? So we're going to have a number of opinions of why Hashem is using a firm description. They could both be right. They're not necessarily mutually exclusive. First answer is Mipnei Shein Shel Torah, because these are words of Torah, meaning to say Hashem is giving him an instruction to fulfill a mitzvah that was already given in the Torah for that, and the Torah is speaking it out. Generally, when Hashem speaks to Moshe, it's almost always Vayidaber Hashem or Moshe, and it's usually preceding a mitzvah that he's going to teach them. And it actually got to be bold and firm, because there's no it's not like pretty please will you do this. You have to do this.
Come on.
So now, when Hashem is telling Yeshua, you got to fulfill a mitzvah that I told Moshe that's going to have to happen when you guys come in over here, because this is the only time in the Navi, where the Navi writes anything down, where Hashem told Yeshua to fulfill a biblical commandment. All right, so therefore we got to use that expression. That's the general answer. Interesting. The Torah itself is referred to as Oz, might. Hashem will give might to his people, right? So therefore, when you talk about Torah, it's got to be firm, strong. Other statements Hashem said to Yeshua didn't have to do with commandments in the Torah, so therefore it can use the softer language.
Torah meaning Moshe's Torah?
What?
Specifically Moshe's Torah?
Well, the Torah that Hashem... There's no such thing as Moshe's Torah. The Torah that Hashem gave to Moshe.
Yeah.
Right? So, but now you have to fulfill something that was written in the Torah. And just like when I told Moshe, I spoke to him with a strong language, I'm speaking to you in a strong language. That's how Rashi learns this. Alternatively, since this commandment of Yeshua is a continuation of the commandment given Moshe regarding the designations of refuge, it's expressed in terms of speaking as was the original commandment. Furthermore, the exalted nature of the Torah makes it appropriate that its commandments be expressed in more serious terms, denoting its higher stature. Okay, fine. Now everyone's going to ask a question. Is this true that every time you have dibur, it's a harsh language? Lememra, do you mean to say, dechol dibur, wherever you're going to find the verb dibur, its lashon kasha is a firm language? Gemara says, in. Yes. Kirichsiv, I'll show you some examples of this. It says, Diber ha'ish Adonai ha'aretz itano kashos. Who said this? The children of Yaakov. When they came back to Yaakov during the famine, and he sent them down to get grain, and they came back and they were missing Shimon, and Yaakov saying, what's going on? He says, well, this man, right, he spoke to us kashos, harshly, right? So there you have dibar, the word dibar, together with kashos, harshly. He didn't say amar ha'ish kashos. He amarred kashos, harshly, but dibar kashos, right? That's the whole story. So you see that dibar is connected. So that, I guess you want to assume, that is like the source that dibar always is a strong language. Moore says, well, wait a minute. I'm going to show you an example where it's not so. Vatanya, we learn in a braisa, it's based on a pasuk of Malachi. What does the Navi Malachi says? Famous pasuk. Oz nidberu yirei Hashem ish el reyehu. Then those who fear Hashem spoke to one another. Vayakshev Hashem, and Hashem listened. Vayishman, he heard. Vayikosev, and he wrote it in the Sefer Sikaron, in a book of remembrances, Lefanov, before him, Liyirei Hashem Lechosh Hashemov, before those who fear Hashem and consider thought to his name. So that's talking about Yirei Hashem, or speaking, and there it says Nidberu. And let's see the context over there. It says Nidberu, it spoke, those spoke, and over there, the Brisa says, a Nidberu el Loshen Nachas. Nidberu is a mild speech. They spoke nicely to each other. The God from whom spoke, the Brisa is saying, Diber is softly. And you're just telling me it means harshly. Similarly, the Brisa says, Vachenu Omer. I'll give you another pasuk, the Brisa says. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. Yad ber amim tachtenu. He shall lead nations under us. Thus we see the verb dibur implies an air of gentleness rather than firmness. What's the second source here? The Gemara assumes at this point that since the Hebrew word used for lead is yadber. Yadber in that context means to lead, not to speak. But it's the same root of daber, speaking, should therefore have the same connotation. Now the leadership, what's going on in that pasuk? The leadership of the verse refers to the end of days when all nations will willingly accept their role as servants of Hashem. So the word dibur should also carry the same meaning. Okay, so we have a brisa that brings two sources that daber is softly. And you're telling me that it's not softly. Daber is a strong language, as we find from Yaakov. So Gemara, now look carefully. If you want to get the answer, look very carefully. Let's go back to what was the pasuk by Yeshua? It was Vayidaber. Vayidaber. What were these pasukim over here? Nidberu, and Yadber. So he's telling you the way it's applied is different. Daber lechud, when it's just daber, straight, like by Yeshua, Vayidaber, that's firmness. But Yadber is different. Although the root's the same, the conjugation of the verb is different. So therefore, it's a different language. So daber is the stronger type of expression. It's like a tzivoy, a command. It's all kinds of grammar rules you'd have to know. Yadber is not a command. Daber is Lashon Piel. It's a stronger in the verb. There's seven ways to conjugate a verb in Hebrew. Good luck. So one of them is PL. PL is harsher, stronger. You're acting on the person in the way the verb is done. While Yadber is a softer. So it's a grammatical answer, basically. So when it's Daber in the conventional, Vayid Daber, and that's what it said by Yaakov, it says Diber. He spoke harshly. Diber is a harsh language. Different forms of that conjugation of the verb is a softer expression. Fine. Okay, next piece of Gemara. We get, we're going to maybe get to the Mishnah soon. The simen, just the mnemonic device, is Rabbanan, Mehamni, and Sifri. Fine. So now, we had one opinion. Why did Hashem speak with an expression of Daber? So we said that was because it was a commandment of the Torah. Now we're going to have a machlokes on this issue, okay, of what's the Daber. Pligibar Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan have a machlokes as to why that section in Yoshua, when it gives us the commandment of the Ir HaMikra, why is it using a strong language? Chad Omer 1 says the reason is Mipnei Shishio. One is say that because he delayed in doing it. Yeshua was not alacritous to perform this mitzvah. So really Hashem is rebuking him for that. We'll have to see why he delayed that. But since Hashem thought, I mean, Yeshua knew he was supposed to do this. Yeshua knew the Torah like we knew the Torah. And he should have figured, okay, it's the end of Savior Yeshua. They conquered the land. They gave out the land. I mean, obviously you can't make cities of refuge till you finish conquering and you give out the land. Now he gave it the land. So Hashem's assuming Yeshua on his own is going to figure, well, now that, you know, everything's been done, let's give out the cities of refuge. He didn't do it. So Hashem says, what are you waiting for? So he spoke to him harshly because he delayed it. The Chadomar one says, like we said, Mipnei Shehen Shel Torah, because it's words of the Torah. So it's a machlokas, what's going on over there? So now, so we have to explain the other opinion. So I'll just say it simply, although it needs much more explanation. Why did Yeshua delay? If you recall, when we learned in Sefer Yeshua, there's a few things that Yeshua delayed on. Because Yeshua knew that when he would die, then the Jews would revert to ways of idol worship. Because if you look in the Chumash, at the end of Sefer Dvarim, Hashem says to Moshe in a prophecy, he says, listen, I want you to know what's going to happen. When you die, Moshe, the Jews are going to worship idols. If you look over there in the Pesukim, Yeshua understood that as long as a person's student is alive, it's like they're still alive. Mm-hmm. So when Hashem says, when you die, Moshe, it didn't mean Moshe. It means your student, Yeshua, dies. So Yeshua figured, and that's also why he delayed in conquering all the Canaanite nations. Remember, when we learned Sefer Yeshua, we had a whole discussion about this. Mm-hmm. In other words, he was supposed to knock them all out, every single last one of them. He did like a vast majority. There was a total, it's like, what do you call it? was that Al-Qaeda? No, it was the ISIS, right? ISIS, we got rid of 98% of the caliphate, right? Okay, you got rid of 98% of the caliphate, and you basically have control. Yeah, but you leave them there, they pop up, they infiltrate, they still can make trouble. So similar to that, Yeshua said, we got rid of 98% of it, you know, there's a few of them here and there, but why did he delay it? Same reason, because he knew once his mission is done, then he will die. So he did, not that he cared that he should live longer, but he figured the longer I wait, the longer idol worship won't start. So therefore, he delayed in these things. Still not a proper cheshbon,
no.
But that's why he was delaying it. Right? The other opinion says, no, it was words of Torah. Really, I don't think they contradict each other. They are words of Torah, and he delayed it. Yeah.
Why didn't he establish a student just like he was to Moshe that would maybe continue that sort of trend? You know, like,
I don't know.
He should have had a Talmud that was like.
It was Smicha, right?
It's a good question. I mean, there was Elazar was still there. Elazar HaKohen was the Kohen. That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. There was Smicha, but Smicha was only separate. In terms of giving over the Torah. That's not necessarily leadership. There's two different roles. There's passing on the torch of Torah, which is one thing, and leading the people from a political way as opposed to that. So Torah was good, but it was the leadership. Now there's a whole discussion. Maybe they felt they didn't need to have a leader. Mm-hmm. Remember, the Torah says when you shall choose to have a king, right? Now remember, when the Jewish people asked Shmuel HaNavi to get a king, he castigated them.
Yes.
There's a whole discussion. Is it a mitzvah that we have to do, or it's a mitzvah we want to do to make a king? So the conventional understanding is that Hashem, when he brought us into Eretz Yisrael, Hashem is the king. Since when do you need a human king? If you are Dovah, remember, let's go back to Judaism 101 in theory. In theory. In theory, if you're close to Hashem, you don't have to worry about anything. No one's going to hurt you. No one's going to hurt you. Your mom is davuk. If your mom is close, no one's going to hurt you. Everyone's going to get along with each other. You don't got if you're not under threat of attack. Okay, let's assume that's not an issue. Okay, like when they're in the desert, they weren't under threat of attack. And if you understand, everybody's doing their mitzvahs, which means giving tzedakah. So if you got a neighbor whose farm isn't doing well, you obviously know you're going to give them tzedakah. You don't need people to tell you to do that. You're close to Hashem. So what do you need a king for? Yeah. You got Kohanim. They do their job. You know, you're going to do whatever Hashem tells you to do. So what in the world do you need a king for? So in theory, we don't need to have a king. So maybe Yeshua felt, well, why should we have a king? And indeed, they did not have a king for a long time. But the problem was the Jews didn't serve Hashem as they should have. And all of a sudden, the enemies start making trouble for us. So Hashem would have to send a shofet, someone who would just help them get out of this little mess, and then they can go back to not having a king. Finally, when the Jews asked for a king after a few hundred years, Hashem was, Shmuel was upset with that. So that's why I guess they didn't make a king, per se, because they really weren't supposed to have one. Okay, good. Now we go to another pasuk in Sefer Yeshua, since we're on the topic of Yeshua, and it was the end of Yeshua, so now we're going to deal with another pasuk further on at the end of Sefer Yeshua, and a machlokas about that as well. It says, Vayichtov Yeshua es hadvar ma'ele b'sefer Torah Elokim. Yeshua wrote these words in the book of the Torah of Hashem. Let's take a look at that pasuk over there. This is at the end that he gave, it was like his last words per se. We should get the whole context over here. Yeshua 24:26. Let's just look at the whole thing here. 24:26. It's the last chapter of Sefer Yeshua. He gathers all the people together at Shechem. He calls them together. And he said, this is what Hashem said, blah, blah, blah. It's going through the whole history of the Jewish people. you know, we started with Terach, etc. I took your parents out of the land of Israel. I sent Moshe. I took you out of Egypt. You called out, etc., etc. We conquered the Amori. He tells the Bible. He goes through the whole history of the Jewish people. Basically, he's reviewing from soup to nuts. We crossed the Jordan River. Hashem helped us destroy the enemies. Now he finally, in Pasuk Yudal, says, now therefore fear Hashem, serve him with sincerity, put away the gods, blah, blah, blah. And it says, it gives them all kinds of mussar, and you know, if you're not happy with this, you know, what's going on, the people say, no, God forbid, we're never going to leave Hashem. Hashem is the one who took us out of Egypt, and he did all these things for us. Okay, so it's basically a whole shmooze that he gives them. And you're witnesses to all this, etc., etc. And the people said, Yeshua, the Lord our God, we will serve, and his voice will obey. It's like not almost like Nasa Vinishma, etc. Then he makes a covenant with the people. Okay, then finally, Yeshua wrote these words in the book of the Torah of God. Now that's a funny expression. Just as we finish all after this whole schmooze and this musr and this, no, we're going to serve Hashem, everything over here. It's amazing. They make a covenant, and he writes down these words in the Sefer of Hashem. He took a big stone, and he put it under a tree over there, etc., etc. And he says, this stone's going to be the witness. So what does it mean he wrote all these words in the book of the Torah of Hashem? Like, what is it? Like, he could have just said he wrote all these words down. Right. Could have been this whole discussion, this covenant he wrote. So that's the discussion. What is he exactly writing over there? So, one second. What did I do? There it is. Okay. So, Pligiba is a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemia. Again, a machlokas. Chad Omer, one says, it's referring to something altogether different, Shmona Psukim. It's referring to the last eight Psukim of the Torah. Remember, the last eight Psukim begin with, and Moshe died there. Right at the end of the Torah, right? Yeah. It says, and Moshe died, and then it talks a few more Psukim. No, there was no prophet like Moshe, this and that. Well, question is, who could have written those last eight Psukim? Yeah. Could Moshe write that he died? A little bit difficult. That's a big discussion. Exactly who wrote it? It's a machlokas in another Gemara. There is an opinion that says Moshe did indeed write the last eight verses of the Torah, but the student argamar indeed parallels this machlokas. Okay, so there's a whole discussion. What did he do? Some say he just wrote it, the outline of the psukim, but he didn't fill it in, whatever. So here we're saying that we know what he wrote. He wrote those last eight psukim of the Torah. That's what he wrote. He had to finish up that job, as it were. That's one. V'chad Omer, and one says...
Yeshua.
Yeah. V'chad Omer, and one says, Ari Miklat. He wrote about the laws of the city of refuge as Hashem told him, he commanded him to make the cities of refuge. Mm-hmm. So that, and since that's referring to Torah mitzvah, it's called the Torah of Hashem. So it's a machlokas. What does it mean what he wrote? Bishlema, this is all good and well, Amand Amar Ches Psukim, that he wrote the last eight Psukim of the Torah. That seems to fit more into the exact wording of the text. Hayu Dichsiv, it says he wrote it, B'Sefer Torah Elokim, in the book of the Torah of our God. Because it was actually in the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah was missing the last eight Psukim, he finally filled it in. Elamand Amar Are Mikla, but the one who says he wrote about the Ira Mikla, my Sefer Torah, what's going on here? Ma Sefer Teres Elohim. What's the meaning? He wrote it in the book of the Torah of God. The answer is, he wrote a topic about what was talked about in the Torah of God. Hachikamer, it means the following. Vayichta Yeshua b'sifro. Yeshua wrote in his book of Sefer Yeshua, Eshadvar Me'ela, these words that deal with this topic, Haksumim b'sefer Teres Elohim, that are written in the Torah. You know, and he wrote those psukim. Hashem said, go separate this. And so he wrote that down. He wrote what Hashem told him about that. So he repeated in the book of Yeshua the matter that was discussed in the Torah. As I showed you the first time, it was about six psalchim, and this is where the guy who kills unintentionally goes, blah, 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 blah. He's writing over that mitzvah in his sefer, what was written in the Torah.
And that's written in the Torah as well. That's what.
Yes, so that's what it's referencing back.
Yeah.
C. Siach Yitzel, who explains that many of the details of the laws of Siddur Refuge were told to Yeshua, and we derive them from the verses that are found in Yeshua. So there's a bit to learn about that as well. Okay. Let's just stop it. Okay, let's end it here. There's just another six lines to the Mishnah. It's another topic we're just bringing because it's another machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir.